be away because of sickness in his family, and I know that you miss him, but you understand and that you're praying for him. Glenda and I were over here about 4 years ago in a special meeting when you had a different speaker each night some time ago. I hope that if you remember me, it was something good. I hope that you don't remember anything bad about me. There's enough of bad, but I rejoice that I'm here. I've been preaching out. I'm in my 55th year of preaching. Glenda and I in our 54th year of marriage, and I pastored churches for 46 years. And for the last 5 years, I've been traveling across the country preaching where anywhere they ask me and allow me. So far, it's been 173 churches now, and I rejoice that God has blessed me in a wonderful way. Would you open your Bibles now to the book of John, chapter 3. The book of John, chapter 3, and you know just because I mentioned John, chapter 3, that's a very important chapter. And as we look into that chapter, we're going to see something not normally. When you look to John chapter 3, you think about John 3:16 or what Jesus' message to Nicodemus was. But tonight we're going to look down at the end of the chapter. And if you're physically able to stand while I read the passage, would you stand please out of reverence for the Word of God? If you're physically not able, I understand that and everybody else does. I want to read the passage and have prayer. Then you may be seated, and I want to bring the message tonight that God's put upon my heart. Christ above all. In verse 31 of John chapter 3, we begin reading. He that cometh from above is above all. He that is of the earth is earthly, and speaketh of the earth. He that cometh from heaven is above all. And what he hath seen and heard, that he testifieth, and no man receiveth his testimony. He that hath received his testimony has set to his seal that God is true. For he whom God has sent speaketh the words of God, for God giveth not the Spirit by measure unto him. The Father loveth the Son, and hath given all things unto his hand. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. And he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth upon him. What a glorious passage of Scripture. Father, would you add your blessings now to the proclamation of your word that you put upon my heart. And Holy Spirit, would you give me liberty to speak? May the words come easy. And would you give the people, dear Lord, a listening ear to listen what the Spirit said to the churches. And as they listen tonight, may they rejoice, dear Lord, in the attributes of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And I pray that you'd help me to be a vessel that would be used tonight to exalt your name. We pray for the pastor, and we pray for his family. Thank you for the good service that they render to these people and to this community. And God bless this church in a very special way as they begin their mission emphasis here in a few days. Bless in a very special way. Bless tonight. We'll give you the praise in Jesus' name. We ask it all. Amen. And you might be seated. Now the scripture tells the title of my message in verse 1 that I read to you, verse 31, he that cometh from above is above all. And tonight we're going to talk about the subject, Christ above all. You begin to study the third chapter of the book of John and you find that it is very a deep chapter. John Phillips has outlined this chapter by saying that it has the world's greatest tragedy involved in John chapter 3. When you begin to think about the world's greatest tragedy, that would be this. That which is of the flesh is flesh, it says, as Jesus was speaking to Nicodemus. And because of that, except you be born again, you cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. The greatest tragedy that I know of today is that people reject the Lord Jesus Christ and choose to spend a lost eternity in hell. But then John Phillips said, not only is there the world's greatest tragedy, he says that this chapter contains the world's greatest truth. You know what that verse would be. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And then Mr. Phillips says the third thing about this particular chapter, and he says that while it has the world's greatest tragedy, the world's greatest truth, it also has the world's greatest test. And the test is this, in verse 19. And this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light. And the greatest test in all the world is, what will you do with Jesus? Now, it may be my belief that everyone in this building tonight know Jesus Christ as personal Lord and Savior. Let it show, be seen on your face. As well as you know it in your heart, let it be seen in your face. And let it be known in your rejoicing that Jesus Christ saves us from our sins. This morning when I got up and read some of the reports of the vote in New Hampshire yesterday, I concluded this. Jesus still saves. Does he not? And here there is the world's greatest tragedy, the world's greatest truth, the world's greatest test. And my message to that is the world's greatest triumph. Because it begins to talk about the Lord Jesus Christ. And that he is not just equal with men, but he is above all. He's above every person that's ever been upon this earth and every thought and every philosophy, everything. It's Christ above all. Now you notice a verse that I did not read, verse 30. Look there. Because there John is recording the words of John as he begins to talk about Jesus Christ. He met him out on the Jordan River, baptizing him. But then he says in verse 30, he must increase, but I must decrease. He's telling us that we're putting Jesus in proper perspective and proper priorities in our life. We are nothing. John chapter 15 says, except we abide in him and he in us, we can do nothing. Without him, we are nothing. And when John uttered the words that he must increase, the word following, because he is above all. Jesus is the greatest blessed and person that has ever been. And as you come to this section, the triumph section, there we'll find several blessings relevant to our lives and burdens for those that are going to reject Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. In these words that I read to you tonight, I believe there were six of them. For those that are insecure, you can find in these six verses, security. For those that are failures and defeated, you can find the confidence and encouragement on every hand because Jesus Christ is always lifting us up. For those that are confused, there you'll find clarity in life only in Jesus Christ. Now, I am not a political type preacher, and I get tired of listening to it on television every day. But everybody thinks that they have the message that's going to cure the ills of our nation and cure the ills of the world. I want to tell you there's only one person that can do that, and his name is Jesus Christ. Not a Democrat, not a Republican, not an independent, but Jesus Christ. And the book of Colossians tells us that in Jesus, everything that we need is involved in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. For this is what Paul writes to the church at Colossae. He says, in him, in Jesus, dwelleth the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and ye are complete in him. The only place that you can find total fulfillment and completion is not in your spouse, and not just a particular church, but is in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Why? Because God so ordained that in Christ Jesus that we are made alive. I am come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. However, for the fence straddler, for those that do not make a choice and a decision to put Jesus first in their life, there is going to be no neutrality with Jesus Christ. You can't stand straddling the fence about Jesus. He said, you're either for me or you are against me. There's a lot of people that water down the truth of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ trying to straddle the fence about the gospel, which the world despises. But you cannot be neutral about the Lord Jesus. Will you accept him or will you not accept him? The world's greatest tragedy that we find in John chapter 3 will follow what it says in John chapter 1 and verse 10. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. Would you not agree that that's the world's greatest ignorance, is to be in this world and learn everything about everything that there is to exist and not know Jesus Christ, the Son of God? He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and yet the world knew him not. But listen to this, the world's greatest complacency. He was in the world, and the world was made by him. The world knew him not, but then he came into his own, and his own received him not. Here we find that you cannot straddle the fence with the Lord Jesus Christ. The proud and the unbelieving look to doom and gloom in this future. But for those of us that know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, and we put Him first in our life, and He's above all in our life, we know that God's got great things in store for us because of the written promises in His Word. The proud and the unbelieving are looking to gloom and doom. The person who is indecisive faces eternal death, that John chapter 3 and verse 36, but the wrath of God abideth upon him. Now, in these priceless perils tonight, I want to show you four things that we see that Christ is above all. First of all, let's look to the supremacy of the Lord Jesus Christ. Things that God says is supreme. That, you know, there's a lot of people who believe that Jesus Christ is imminent. The word imminent means that it is of importance. But Colossians says that He's not only just important, He has the preeminence. The preeminence. The first of importance. He is number one in our life. And verse 31 says, He that cometh from above is above all. Now go back to John chapter 1 and verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The Word was God. All things were made by Him, and without Him, there was not anything made that was made. And here is, we find that He is the God of creation. He that cometh from above is above all, and he that is of the earth is earthly, carnal, worldly, and speaketh of the earth. But he that cometh from heaven is above all. So here we find the supremacy of the Lord Jesus Christ. Nicodemus said this in chapter 3, when he came to the Lord Jesus Christ by night. And he says that no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Nicodemus was an educated person, a member of the Sanhedrin. He was a man of culture. We don't know anything wrong about him, but Jesus knew something wrong about him because the last verses of John chapter 2 says he needed not that any should testify of man because he knew what was in man. And Nicodemus was just like the rest of us. We've sinned and come short of the glory of God. And Jesus recognized his confession. He said, we know that thou art one sent from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Nicodemus has said, this man is different from all other men that has ever been upon this earth. In a day when people tend to worship rock stars, they worship movie stars, they worship football players and baseball players and basketball players whose fame is fickle and fleeting, and the Bible tells us that Christ is above all of these for all of eternity. His name will outlive Washington, His name will outlive Lincoln, and Napoleon, and Caesar, and Einstein, and Mozart, and Beethoven, and Reagan, and Bush, and Obama, and Clinton, and Trump, and Sanders. Why? Because His name is above all names. That at His name, all other great people upon this earth will bow and confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of the Father, which is in heaven. Now, I don't want to get off on this Muslim thought that's going across our country, but I want to tell you this, that someday every Muslim will confess that Jesus is Christ. Why do I know that? Because I'm trying to stir up wrath? No, I'm telling you what the book says. Christ is above all. In the day when people are worshiping all these others, and there's no name that compares to the Lord Jesus. Acts chapter 4 verse 12 says there's no other name given among men on earth, given among men, whereby we can be saved. That name, Jesus. The world hates that name, but we adore that name. Amen. They shall call His name Jesus. Matthew 1:21 says, and they shall call His name Jesus. Why? For He shall save His people from their sins. Kings will bow to Him, for He's a King of kings and Lord of lords. Philippians chapter 2 verses 9 and 10 says, wherefore God has highly exalted Him and given Him a name which is above every name, that at His name every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess. Paul reveals the superiority of Christ, or the exaltation of Christ, in the book of Colossians in chapter 1. You might want to turn there, but I'm going to share these verses with you and I want you to listen. In verse 15 of chapter 1 it says, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. Christ is above all. You remember in the book of John chapter 15, Jesus said, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me, in my Father's house, and many mansions. You know that passage? Well, one of the disciples came and says, would you show us the Father? And as you show us the Father, that will be sufficient. That's all that we want to know. Just allow us to see the Father. Jesus Christ said this, he that has seen me has seen the Father. Oh, as we think about this, the Bible tells us that he is superior to all others upon this earth. All things, all philosophy, Christ above all. He is superior, Paul writes to the Colossians, and saying, in order, for he is before all things, before the world existed, Jesus Christ was. In the beginning was the Word. Before there was an earth, before there was an atmosphere, before there was a man upon this earth, Jesus existed. Why? Because he was God. The Bible says he's Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. He was, he is, and he is to come. He is the beginning and the end. He's superior in his creation. Verse 16 says, for by him all things were created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible things and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or power, all things were created by him. And listen to this. Not only were they created by him, but they were created for him, for his honor and his glory. So that means every one of us was put upon this earth because God designed us and put us upon this earth for one purpose, and that is for the glory of the Son, Jesus Christ. To labor for him and to work him and to exalt him. This is the supremacy of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's superior in his power. By him all things consist, are held together. He says in the book of Matthew chapter 28, all power is given unto me. And because all power and authority is given to me, go into all the world and preach what? The gospel. How beautiful it is to see all your declarations. I don't know if that's a every Sunday thing or just getting ready for your missions conference, but it's a wonderful thing that you're having in this church because Christ Jesus has commanded us to go into all the world and not make the world Americans. But he says, go into all the world and preach the gospel. The good news. Are y'all listening? Would you say amen? That's good news right there. The gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. He is superior in his resurrection. He's the firstborn from the dead, verse 18 says. He is the head of the body of the church that is the beginning of the firstborn from the dead. In all things he might have the preeminence. As we think about Paul's testimony, we go back to the book of John chapter 3 and we see what he is teaching here. Christ is above all. You listen to the testimony of Napoleon Bonaparte about the supremacy of Christ. I got this little clipping that I want to read. I don't like to read when I'm in the pulpit except the Bible, but I got to read this because I didn't memorize it. And this is what Napoleon Bonaparte said to a person that worked with him, Henry Bertrand, an officer who faithfully accompanied Bonaparte in his exile, but he did not believe in the deity of Christ. And Bonaparte was witnessing about Jesus. He says this, I know men, and I tell you that Jesus Christ was not a mere man. Superficial minds see a resemblance between him and the founders of empires or the gods of their religions. The resemblance does not exist. There is between Christianity and the forms of pagan worship the distance of infinity. Everything in Christ astonishes me. His spirit overawes me. His will confounds me. His commands us to believe and gives no reason besides his own inspiring claim. I am God, he says. Between him and others in this world, there is no possible comparison. He is truly a being by himself. His sentiments, the truths which he announced in his manner of life, are unexplainable. Philosophers who try to solve the mysteries of the universe by their empty dissertations are fools. Christ speaks with authority. The closer I come, the more carefully I examine him. Everything above me and has a grandeur that overpowers. I search in vain in history to find one similar to Jesus or anything which are approached the gospel he preaches, and everything about him is extraordinary. What a testimony. Christ above all. No matter what the circumstance, Christ's preeminence and supremacy always comes to the surface from His birth and all the way to the death and resurrection. Christ is above all. He was born in the meanest of circumstances, yet the air above Him was filled with the hallelujahs of a heavenly host. Isn't that wonderful? We just got through Christmas. Even though His lodging was a cattle pen and a star drew distinguished visitors from afar to honor and worship Him. Why? Because He's above all. Growing up, His relatives were inconspicuous and uninfluential. Yet, in infancy, He startled the king. In boyhood, He puzzled the doctors. Walking in manhood, Christ the Creator, He ruled the elements of nature and defied the laws of gravity by walking upon the water and then calming a raging sea. Christ is above all. Multitudes were healed without medicine by the Lord. Funeral possessions were halted as the Lord raised the dead. Huge crowds were fed by small portions of food that He miraculously multiplied. How did He do this? Christ is above all. Jesus never wrote a book, yet all the libraries in the world could not hold the books that have been written about Him. He never wrote a song, yet He has furnished the theme of more songs than all songwriters combined. Our Lord never founded a college, yet all schools together cannot boast of as many students as He has following Him. To God be the glory. Why? Christ is above all. Jesus never practiced medicine, but He has healed more broken hearts and lives than doctors have healed broken bodies. And how can this be? By the way, He's healed my broken heart. And He'll heal your broken heart. Why? Because He's above all. Our Lord never marshaled an army, never drafted a soldier, never fired a gun, yet no leader has ever had more volunteers that have, under His orders, made rebels stack arms and surrender without a shot being fired. Why? Because He is above all. Oh, we see the scriptures here in verse 31. He that cometh from above is above all. But not only do we find His exaltation in His supremacy, we find accusation in the shining of His testimony. Verse 32. And what He hath seen and heard that He testified. Right there, John is writing to the veracity of the scriptures and the integrity of the Lord Jesus Christ. What He has seen and heard, He testified. Jesus said, I speak those things that my Father has said. But then He says in verse 32, and no man receiveth His testimony. Aren't you glad that you received the testimony of Jesus? Would you say amen? Amen? He's God. He died for your sins and He loves you. And He paid your sin debt in full upon the cross of Calvary. But there were some who did not receive Him as Jesus. And today, I've lived a long time upon this earth and never have I witnessed a day when the name of Christ was under such assault in the United States of America as we are now. Everywhere you turn. You can talk about any other God, but just don't mention that name, Jesus. You know why they don't like the name Jesus? It's because Jesus came and He lived with no sin whatsoever. Even in that, before His crucifixion, the man says, I find no fault in Him. And Jesus Christ is the light, and the light always exposes the darkness. And the world despises Jesus because He exposes the darkness of the world. They don't like Jesus. It's getting worse and worse and worse. And because they don't like Jesus, they don't like us, the rest of us, who follow Jesus. What an accusation. Matthew chapter 8 and verse 34, and behold, the whole city came out to meet Jesus. And when they saw Him, they besought Him that He would depart out of their coast. We don't want you around here, the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why many colleges are teaching today. That's why many schools. That's why that's why educators across the country. That's why governmental leaders. That's why writers in books. They want to get rid of the name Jesus. But I may sound like a fool tonight, but I want you to know, ladies and gentlemen, that someday every one of them will confess the name Jesus because it's in the book. The accusation. The Lord Jesus Christ was rejected and is still rejected today. There are several reasons for this attitude toward the Lord because people are earthly minded. The Bible says, he that is of the earth is earthly. They are of an earthly mind and they have no concern for spiritual or heavenly matters. And their priorities are for this life. not the life to come in eternity. Hey, isn't it wonderful that the Bible says for us that are Christians to set our affections upon things above? I'm old enough to remember the song, "This World Is Not My Home. I'm just a passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue." Secondly, the wisdom of this world rejects the simplicity of the gospel. Mankind is wanting to work his way to heaven. But the Bible says you can't do that. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourself. It is the gift of God. In other words, lest any man should boast. Pride makes people feel that they are good enough for heaven and have no need for a Savior. They cannot understand that a God in all of his holiness can love people like us in our sin and wash away his sins in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. A love for sin makes people reject Christ. The Bible tells us in John 3:19, and this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. So there is the supremacy of Christ, exaltation. There is the shunning of his testimony, that is accusation. Then I want you to notice the third thing. There is the sureness of the Word of God, and that's authentication. Because verse 33 says, he that hath received his testimony has set to his seal that God is true. And now that's an unusual terminology there. He that hath received his testimony, that's John 1:12, but as many receive him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. And those that have received his testimony, believe what he was, and believe what he did, and believe what he offered. They received that testimony, and they set to his seal that God is true. Why? Because Christ is above all. Set to his seal. That is, when a document is written, at the bottom of the page, a seal was made declaring what that person believed in, and what was written there, the seal was sure. Aren't you glad that you know without a doubt that Jesus Christ is alive today, that he saved you from your sin? The Apostle Paul says, I know in whom I have believed, and I am persuaded that he is able to commit, that he is able to keep that which I have committed to him against that day. Aren't you glad that you're saved tonight? We can boastfully say, not in our own boast, but we can boast in Jesus, and we can say, if I die tonight, I know I'm going to go to heaven because of what Jesus has done for me. We don't boast in ourselves. We don't deserve that. Now, why do we have it? It's because Christ is above all. Authentication. He that received his testimony has set to his seal that God is true. For he whom God hath speaketh the words of God, for God giveth not the Spirit by measure unto him. He spoke the words of God. Hey, isn't it wonderful to have a written word of God, the Bible? I believe it from cover to cover, don't you? All 66 books of the Bible. The Bible tells us that heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. What a wonderful joy. Hey, isn't it great to be at a church where the pastor comes Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night and opens the Bible and preaches the word of God? That is the truth. Oh, how wonderful it is. And so that's authentication. Bible times, if a man wished to give his full approval to a document, he affixed his seal to the foot of it. Glenda and I, just last week, decided that we were going to purchase an item. Or we made an offer to buy an item. And a contract was sent. You don't have to go any longer. Send it over the computer and sign your name on the computer. Everything's gone computers. And so we signed our name on that computer to that document. That means that we will pay so much for that item, the contract. We put our name on the bottom. We put the date on the bottom. And when someone believed the word of God, they believed the document, they put their seal on the bottom and said, this is what I stand for. Do you stand for the Lord Jesus Christ? You've made a testimony to that. Probably when you got saved, you came to a church service, and the pastor said, what happened to you? I know this happened to me when I was a 12-year-old boy. Max, what did the Lord do for you tonight? And I had the privilege as a 12-year-old boy to say, Pastor, tonight God saved my soul from sin. It was in the wintertime, February the 18th, 1956. And so we didn't baptize in February in Alabama because it was too cold. But as soon as it got warm, well, they said it was warm. The water didn't say that it was warm. They took us out to the creek and they baptized us. And when we got baptized, we were making a testimony that what Jesus is and what Jesus has done, we have accepted, and we were buried in the likeness of His death and raised in the likeness of His resurrection. Why? Because Christ is above all. Authentication. Romans 3:4, God forbid, yea, let God be true. Let every man be a liar, as is written. Thou hast magnified, thou mightest be justified in thy saying, and mightest overcome when thou art judged. Authentication. One last thing in our close. We have seen the supremacy of Christ, exaltation. We've seen the shining of Christ, that's accusation. We have seen the sureness of the Word of God, that's authentication. And now we look to verse 35 and 36. And the Father loveth the Son, and hath given all things unto His hand. God the Father loves His Son. When He was baptized, the words from heaven came from the lips of God Almighty. This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. The Bible says God loves the Son. If God loves the Son, we ought to love the Son. Do you agree with that? The Bible says, Father loveth the Son, and hath given all things unto His hand. In fact, the book of Acts chapter 17, God says, it's recorded, that He's committed all judgment into the hands of the Lord Jesus. In this world today, He's a Savior. But at the end, He will be our judge. The world's judge. Praise God for the gospel that gets us through the judgment. How wonderful it is. Then He says here, He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. And he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth upon him. Now here is the sufficiency and the security of Christ, which is glorification, exaltation, accusation. Then we find authentication, and now it's glorification, because the Father loves the Son. John chapter 10 and verse 28. I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. Hey, isn't that wonderful? Glorification. The verses that you're memorizing, that you said three times tonight, Romans 8:28, is a verse of glorification. Romans chapter 8 is glorification. It comes after the chapter 6 and chapter 7 of sanctification. And then glorification. And as we think about glorification, Jesus is going to be glorified in this world and in the world to come. By people confessing His name as Jesus, as Lord, and giving allegiance to Him, even though it's too late for the world. The world will confess. That is glorification. But also, not only is He glorified, His followers are. 1 John chapter 3, verse 1 says, oh, what Father hath bestowed upon us, He loves us. Oh, what love. And He says, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we do know when He doth appear, we shall be like Him. What a day that will be. When our Jesus we shall see, and we look upon the face of Him who saved us by His grace. What a day, glorious day, that will be. That's going to be glorification. Even we sing, glory for me, glory for thee, oh, that will be glory for me. Glorification. Why? Because Christ Jesus is above all. If a person does not believe, he shall not see life, but he shall have the wrath of God upon him. Salvation is not, in joining the church, salvation is not living a particular kind of life. Salvation is involved in accepting a person, the Lord Jesus Christ. 1 John chapter 5 and verse 11 following. This is the promise that he hath given us eternal life. And this life is in his Son. Listen. And he that hath the Son hath life. And he that hath not the Son hath not life. Why? Christ is above all. In 1934, that was a year or two before I was born. In 1934, over in Germany, there was a confessing Christian church in Germany spoke out against the rise of what was called in that day, in the 30s, of German Christianity. Inspired by Nazism, Hitler was anxious to enlist the aid of the churches to follow him. And what began to emerge was the idea that it was the duty of the church to advance a political ideology. Much of the German church embraced this so-called German Christianity. It bothers me when I see churches getting too involved in politics and politicians getting involved in using the church. But a group of confessing Christians got together and authored what is known now as the Barman Declaration, and it argued this premise. It says that Christ is Lord over everything, and the church must never allow itself to be enlisted in the service of any ideology, no matter how good it may seem. We cannot put the word and the work of the Lord in the service of any arbitrarily chosen desire or purpose or plan by changing the language of Scripture about God or by changing the meaning of the words. Why? Because Christ is above all. He's above our traditions. He's above our word, and his word has the final say about all matters in life. Make the Lord and his word number one in your life. Why? Because Christ is above all. In that great teaching of the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 5 and chapter 6 and chapter 7, a key little verse that tells us about Christ being above all. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto thee. Why? Christ is above all. Seek ye first, that's priority. First, that's the preeminence. First, that's the most important. Christ above all. Our heads are bowed and our eyes closed, and Christians are praying. Now God, I preached the sermon you put upon my heart. I wish that I could have been a better preacher. But God, I did the best I could. And I ask tonight, dear Lord, that as I tried my best to exalt Jesus and show that he's above all, and that as a result, dear Lord, that everything we are or hope to be is involved and making Jesus first in our life. With someone here tonight not saved, God, would you speak to their heart and save them? For this church that is getting ready for great things in their missions conference and their plans for the future, as Pastor Peace leads them forward, may they put not their wants, not their desires, not their thoughts, but they put Christ first. Because he is above all.